This week's parsha, Parshat Shlach, is known for the famous story of the miraglim, of the spies being sent out. Chumash tells us in source number one, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, "Send forth men if you please and let them spy out the land of Canaan that I give to the children of Israel. One man from each of his father's tribes shall you send, each one a leader among them." Moshe sent them for the wilderness of Paran at Hashem's command. They were all distinguished men, heads of the children of Israel, were they. And these are the names, from the tribe of Reuven, from the tribe of Shimon, and list all the names of the different spies. And then, at the conclusion, it says, once again, these are the names of the men whom Moshe had sent to spy out the land. And obviously, the repetition, we must learn something from. And then it says, Moshe called Hoshea, son of Nun, Yehoshua. So the very same pasuk that repeats that these were the names of the people, it mentions that Moshe changed the name of Hoshea, who was from the tribe of Ephraim, his student, to Yehoshua. And as the Mefarshim point out, this is Stone Chumash in source 2, notes on the bottom, Rashi brings down, Moshe added the letter Yud to Hoshea's name, changing it from Hoshea to Yehoshua, so that his name would begin with the letter of Hashem's name, the Yud and the He. The Hebrew name Yehoshua means God save or God will save, which signifies that Moshe prayed, may Hashem save you from the conspiracy of the spies. Ka Yoshiacha me'atzat miracle. Now, when we look at this story, and we've studied this story for many years, Baruch Hashem, Meretz Hashem will study this story for many more years, the obvious question, which the Shilai Pinchas articulates so beautifully, and this, my friend, is a question we ask basically in every parsha. V'hinei yadua u'mefursam klal gadol b'Torah, it is well known. Ki mikol irua shebatorah tzarich lomod lekach nisgav b'avodat Hashem. From everything that happened, we need to learn what does it mean for me and my avodas Hashem. Sharei b'chlal zeh hi nikrei Torah. Miloshon hora'a. That's why it's called Torah, hora. It leads a person. Ke'alenu lomod lekach hora'a b'avodat Hashem mikol od mikol tag. From every letter, from every crown, there's what to learn. So his question is, then what is a lekach that we can learn, us simple people, ma kishalon hagadol shel meraglim, from the downfall of these great miraglim, sadikim, these holy people, nesiyei Yisrael, princes, kedei lishtamesh bo b'chayenu hayom yom, that we can apply to our daily lives, which means in simpler English, ma haya shoresh hakishalon, what was the root of their failure of the miraglim? So from this, we're able to understand not to fall into that same trap and make the same mistake. So question number one is, what is the lesson that we can learn? And within that lesson, he's adding a much more specific question. If we can somehow be able to pinpoint what their downfall was, so then we were able in our own lives to make sure not to repeat the same mistake. That's question one. Question two, which is a very fascinating question, is why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu sees it fit to change Hoshea's name to Yehoshua? If he really is worried about, which it seems from the Farshim of Rashi and from Chazal, that for whatever reason, and Meretz Hashem will talk a little bit further down, perhaps why, Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid of the influence that will be had on Yehoshua, so daven for it. Just like our rabbis tell us that Kalev daven by the Kivrei Avot, Vayavo and Chevron in the singular. So Moshe Rabbeinu could have davened for a student. Why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu not just to daven for Yehoshua, but to mamish change his name? What is the whole idea of a name change? What is that all about? That he mamish has to put the Yud in front of the Hoshea, that Hashem will save you, and it's almost like a future thing, that Hoshea being saved, Yehoshua, Hashem will save you in the future. Why was it necessary to mamish change his name? And again, as in all of our studies, there are myriads of approaches to answer all of these questions, and their implications go bring us in many different directions. We always try to focus on just a few, but that's obviously not an exclusion of others. The other preface I'd like to begin today is that we're going to be talking about a topic which is very personal to people and very charged for people as well, and that is the whole idea of names. And whatever we're going to say here today is obviously we never talk about halacha, Jewish law. That's not our purview at all. And there's obviously many different opinions, and clearly we're not trying to say one idea again to the exclusion of another. The Shear's purpose today is just to arouse awareness, and if anyone has any particular or personal issue, so they should speak to their local Rav about any specific issue, and that is our yardstick to go by in every single Shear. Having said that, let's begin our study. Let's answer our question right off the bat, our second question. Moshe understood that there's great significance in the name of a person, and it can serve as a strong form of protection against sin. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu not just daven for Yeshua, but mamash change his name? Because the name of a person has a tremendous power and can save a person from the protection of sin, and therefore he chooses to change his name. Rav Pam continues, and he says that many of the choices of names found in Chumash were based on incidents that occurred as expressions of gratitude to Hashem for his many kindnesses, or as descriptions of the particular missions people had in life. So we see this clearly by Yosef naming his children Ephraim and Manasseh, and Moshe Rabbeinu naming his children, and the way the Shvatim were named. We see this throughout. There are very few examples in the Torah of people being named for ancestors or teachers. Yet this has been the custom for many centuries and is found numerous times in the Gemara. The source for naming a child after a great tzaddik is noted in Avos Rabbi Natan, where it says that many people named their sons Aaron after the death of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron, who was somebody who made a tremendous effort to make peace. So a husband and wife who were brought together by Aaron HaKohen, they're worthy to have a son. So the Medrash brings down in Avos Rabbi Natan that they would name this child in honor of the gratitude toward Aaron, Aaron. I will add parenthetically, the idea of naming today, creating your own name, so to speak, based on, you know, your feelings, like the Avos and the Imahos did, it's an interesting question of today. And there are those who feel very strongly against creating your own name, saying that in our day and age, we just have Gilgulim, we don't have new souls, and therefore the names should be names that are more, names that are more Tanakhi-oriented names. However, if the name inherently has a beautiful meaning, there are those who say it's okay. But again, there's room on all levels. But to create a name that's just a name that doesn't have any particular meaning, so that would be much more questionable. Many have the tradition continuing in 5 to name some of their children after their Torah teachers. Most people name their children after departed parents, grandparents, or earlier ancestors. While we know the Sephardi custom is those whom are still alive, this tradition is alluded to in the Torah itself. When Yaakov blessed Yosef's children, Ephraim and Manasseh, he says, "V'yikarei b'hem shmi v'shem avotai Avraham Yitzchak. May my name be declared upon them, and the name of my forefathers, Avram and Yitzchak." The literal meaning of the pasuk is that Yaakov expressed the hope that the names of his descendants would always be worthy of being linked to their illustrious forefathers. Nevertheless, it does hint to the idea that if children carry the name of their righteous ancestors, it will serve as a lifelong impetus for them to emulate their ways and add additional golden links to their family chain. And that, again, goes back to this idea of using names that have been in the family or names that are associated with great righteous people. We'll just add here parenthetically, Rav Moshe Sternbach in his Sefer Tam V'Das on this pasuk of Vayechi writes about the importance of a person being called only by his Jewish name and the impropriety of using a secular name. One of the reasons the Jewish people in Egypt merited to be redeemed from slavery, we know, is that they retained their Jewish names, which served as a barrier against assimilation. And he notes here, Rav Pan, that if indeed you need to have a secular name for documents or for whatever, you know, civil reasons, then to use it just for those, you know, times but otherwise to be called by one's Jewish name. And he notes here a very interesting historical piece. Rav Moshe Schick, the great disciple of the Chasam Sofer, and a leader fighter against the onslaught of the Reform Movement, wrote a lengthy response in Yerdea on the importance of a Jew calling himself only by his Jewish name. In fact, he would often repeat the origin of his own family name, Schick. When the Austro-Hungarian Empire required every Jew in its dominion to take a surname in addition to its Jewish name, Rav Schick's father chose the name Shin Yud Kuf, which was an acronym of the Hebrew words Shem Yisrael Kodesh, the name of a Jew is holy, which would serve as a constant reminder by the name Schick that we only take Jewish names, and that's who our essence is. Thus, as we read about the tragedy of the Meraglim, we learn the lesson of how, through the power of adding a small yud to the name of his Talmud, Moshe gave Yeshua the koach to withstand the temptation to speak critically about Eretz Yisrael, as his fellow spies did, that eventually earned Yeshua the privilege of entering the land of Israel and illustrates the power inherent in a name. Let's take this idea of the power of a name a little bit further, a little bit deeper, and come back to the name that Moshe Rabbeinu adds to Yeshua and understand it perhaps in a much deeper and different perspective than this. There's a sefer that I recently acquired in a book sale. I'm very good to find out when these book sales are going on. I seem somehow to have an antenna toward them. Not much more space for books, but it was a great sefer. It's a fat sefer. It's called Vikarei Shmo Bisrael, Shem Bisrael. And it's a sefer that talks about everything you ever wanted to know about names and were afraid to ask. And it brings all of these halachic discussions about two names. One name, we'll talk about this. What names you should name, what names you shouldn't name. So in his overview, he notes the following. And I want to learn a couple of pieces from this very fascinating sefer. He says, Shem Hadam, in source 8, Huinyan Niskav V'Nichbad Admao. This is a very fundamental point. The name of a person is not just, you know, okay, I'm going to name this, I'm going to name that. No, the name of a person is something that is very holy and is something that has a tremendous amount of chashivos, a tremendous amount of importance. Hamashpia al mahut ha'adam, that influences the essence of a person. The kashur bo bekesher yashir, and has a direct influence on the person's life. V'hainu shishmo kashur bekesher amitz im mahuto. It's not like a person has an essence and a person has a name and the twain shall not meet. No, the name of a person and the essence of a person are really one and the same. And this is why the kesher azem memela mashpia ba'adam ba'ofen yashir amidotav u'masav. There's an automatic reflection of a person's name on who and what they are. Ubiyadua shishmo shaladam unishmato. And in a real sense, the name of a person is his neshama, is his essence. And he speaks about the shmo shaladam lamata, our name that we're given down here on earth, is mechuva, is parallel to the shema amiti lamala, our essence of our name up in Shemayim. And we have to recognize that every letter of our name, every letter in the Jewish alphabet has tremendous kedusha. And when you put these letters together in this particular way, it creates a reality that is very powerful, that is very strong, that influences where we are down here. You know, it's a real challenge because so often we live in such a physical outlook of life that we don't understand the spiritual ramifications of what we do. But we have to recognize and stop for a moment and be aware and cognizant that the name of a person is really the spiritual essence. And we have to be very careful of what we name an individual. And that's why it was Adam Arif shown in his Ruach HaKodesh that he got from Hashem, that he was able to name all the animals the essence of the animals. It's interesting, I'll just note this parenthetically, there are those authorities that say that one shouldn't name animals. You know, if you have a dog, you shouldn't call it a name because a name There's something very powerful. And names go to people. Names don't go to animals. The only one who named animals was Adam HaRishon, who was able to give what their tchunot are, what their characteristics are. But after that, to equate a name with an animal with a person, it's very challenging. Source 4. V'lachein kishikarim la'adam hayashen bishmo humitarer miyat. That's why he notes that, let's say a person is very absorbed in doing something. You know, they're on the computer and they're lost in space, or they're reading a book. We have this with our kids. We want to call them for dinner. Dinner time, and nothing helps. So he notes that if you call the person by their name, it's going to wake them up out of the stupor that they're in. Because when you call their name, what you're doing is being ma'orer their neshama. You're awakening their spiritual essence, which is sometimes not focused into this world. But the name and calling a person by their name is really tapping in to the spiritual reserves. And that's why it's so important, when referring to a person, to call them by their first name, not to call them by a nickname, not to call them by their last name, but really their name, which is, by calling them their name, you're being ma'orer their essence of who they are. You're awakening that aspect. And that's why Hayotemi calls the arrow in 4. Shetamun b'shem tamsit tafkidoa kariva mirkazi shabal hashem. When a person has a name, their essence, what their job is in this world, is found in that name. U'b'shem nikva kishiro v'chiburo l'ruchniot l'mala. And their name connects them to the ruchnias, to the spirituality of above. And this is why we find, we've spoken about this in the past, when a person is called in the Chumash by both names, like by the Akedah, Avram Avraham, or Moshe Moshe, or Shmuel Shmuel, what we're really saying is the name down here has met the name above. You have reached a certain pinnacle of being able to develop that spiritual aspect of your name and being really able to connect it to your source, to your Shoresh, to the spiritual reservoir of your name. When we understand that the name is the essence of a person, and this is going to really define what this person is going to do in this world, he therefore notes that's why it's very important to be careful what name you choose for a person. Because certain names are going to almost predestine a person in a certain direction for the good, or perhaps for the opposite. Now, obviously, he speaks about clearly, doesn't every person have a bechira, a free choice? You can't, you know, predestine somebody in a certain way. Yes and no. Obviously, everyone has his choice. But what this does is set the person on a course. Yes, a person can change the course. If you name a person a Rasha, you name a person Lava, you name a person Nimrod. Nimrod's a very popular name in Israel. Okay, so Nimrod, he can really work on himself and not be a Morate and not be someone who rebels against God. But he's going to have to work much harder. With a name like Nimrod, he's going to have a certain netiyah toward merit. And likewise, he says, if you name a person Avraham, that child is going to have an inclination toward chesed, to doing acts of kindness. Yes, you'll have wicked people who are named Avraham, but they too have this affinity toward chesed. They just don't use it. Everyone has free choice. But recognize, when you name a child a certain name, you are giving them, so to speak, at moment of birth, or moment of naming, you're giving them a certain course based on what this name means and what type of person you envision and you hope for this child to be. And in a real sense, he says, and this is very fascinating, I had never seen this before in 11, he says, "V'ilu zachu adorot, if we were worthy, haya kodesh baruch hu koresh shem l'chol l'chai v'echad, God would be giving us our names, and then we would know for sure what our nature is, what we're supposed to be doing in this world, because the name gives us a real sense of who and what we are. But living in our time where we don't have this, we have what's the closest around, and that is what's brought down in the Sfarim, and Arizal brings down in 13, that Shekola Shemot Shebaolam Einam Mikra, we don't name a person purely accidental, but rather Hakol Baskama Mitoy Barach, but rather Hashem, who knows who every individual is going to be, he is really giving a certain Ruach HaKodesh, a certain divine inspiration that this child should be called whatever he is called. And Kikash Baruch Hu may seem befiv Hashem Ahu, second paragraph in 13, Hashem places the name of this child in this person's mouth that is appropriate for this particular neshama. And this is the idea of Pasuk of Asher Sam Shamot Ba'aret. Don't read it as Shamot, but as Shemot, that Shema Garim, a name has an effect on a person. And since a name has an effect on a person, and name is the essence of a person, we have to be very careful when we name a person that what we're really doing is defining the essence of a person. Now, he does note in 14 that a person who utilizes her kochos hanefesh, who utilizes all that they've been given to their utmost, they have the ability to add a letter to their name, which is really the expansion of self. That's why Avram becomes Abraham, and this is why Sarai becomes Sarah, as well as Hosea becoming Yahushua. It's a moment when he becomes even greater and begins to take on even a greater role, because this will be the transition, the downfall of the Meragli, which they'll be in the Midbar for 40 years, and Yahushua ultimately become the leader. At this point, when he's going to be starting almost training for his new job, he moves from the Hosea to the Yahushua. Just once we're on the topic of names, before we go back specifically to the Meraglim and to Yahushua specifically, I'd just like to add here almost parenthetically some issues concerning names that we encounter very often in our lives. If we understand that names is the essence of a person, and how careful we have to be to name a name that's going to be what we would want the child to be, and it's going to give the direction of the child. With this, it's interesting, and here we're just going to note a couple of ideas starting in 15 Aleph. The Noti Yehuda writes that we don't find anywhere in the Shas or in the Chumash that a person has two names. And he says maybe perhaps one should name somebody two names, because we don't find this. We find that Avram had one name, Avram. Okay, we added Avinu, but it's one name. And throughout Tanakh, nobody has two names. Everyone has one name. However, there are those who disagree. And he quotes in Dalet that perhaps Ribui Hashemot Shikra Bahem Avlivno, Morel Ribui Kochot Nafshiim, Umo'il L'chaim Arukim Yoter Manikra V'Shem Echad. The flip side is, when you give a child two names, you're giving him more expanded kochos, right? One name means that he'll be an Avraham, and he'll have the attribute of chesed, everything Avraham Avinu stood for. But if you add another name to Avraham, so then he's going to have even more kochos on nefesh, and that will allow him to be even able to accomplish more in his life. And that's a debate back and forth, you add another name or not. However, in Chet, kishakoreshne shemot livno luito, if you call two names to your son or your daughter, and we're talking both, that's sons and daughters here throughout, if you choose to call your child two names, right, at the naming of the child or at the bris, so make sure to call that child by both their names. For this very reason, if we say that a name is the essence, it's a kochos hanefesh, it's like the spiritual DNA imprint of the child. It's going to give them their spiritual map. So you want to give them the largest spiritual map you can. You want to be able to give them all the kochos you can, all the energy you can. So it's so unfair if you name a child two names, which means you want to invest in this child a double amount of energy, and then you drop one in the names. You name the kid three names, whatever it is. You drop one of the names, and this happens very often, right? You name a kid Moshe Yoshua, and then you decide I'm going to call kid Yoshua or just Moshe, and the second name is never used. So those kochos hanefesh that you originally envisioned by calling him that second name, the child is losing out by just calling him the one name and not the other name. And he says also there is a tremendous problem, which is really the thread running through a lot of this discussion. If we come to a case of gittin lo aleinu, of divorce, where there the names of a person have to be written down and all the nicknames of a person, etc., So if this name is never used, so is it really a name of a person or is it not a name of a person? Someone was just telling me today, and again, we don't paskin halacha here, that somebody had two names. They never used the second name. And when it came to her ksufa, she was told, you only write down one name of your ksufa, even though she had a second name, no one ever called her that. That is why, for these various reasons, if a person is being named two names, the best scenario is make sure you're happy with the name you name your child and you can call him that name or her that name. Which means that if you're going to pick two names, pick, you know, two names that roll off the tongue. You know, to pick Yekutiel Yecheskel is a mouthful, right? If you are going to use two names or one name, you have to at least try to call the child by both names. And if you're unable to do, he says, if you can't do that, then you should at least once a day call your child by both of these names. And in that way, this name will not be forgotten. And this is something to work on. If you have two names, to make sure that at least once a day, the child is called by both names. And some people do this when they wake their child up in the morning. They call them by both names. So that way they're in Yotze. As people have said, never call your child both names when you're angry at them because then they have a negative association. But this is something that when a child goes up, you should tell them to find one friend who's going to call them both names on a consistent basis. Because this way you are not forgetting and you're being able to tap into at least on some level once a day the kochos of that name. It is interesting. He goes through in this sefer, which is obviously a much more complicated issue than we can deal with in the short time we have. I'll just make mention here that when we're talking about two names, there's a big debate. If you call after two grandfathers, let's say one grandfather was an Avraham and one grandfather was a Yitzchak. If you call the child Avraham Yitzchak, right, you're combining those names together, whether you're allowed to do that or not. So some people say you can't do that. Other people say, no, this is the Chazon Ish in Yud Bet. You have Ve'im V'cheni Nikra Achar Adam Shayulu Shtei Shemot Yeshli Kro Et Shtei Shemot. You have to call a person by both names. But if you pick one name from each one, he says, Lo Mo'il on Iftarim Shnei Karim Al Shvam. You haven't helped either Avram or Yitzchak. V'Shem Chadash Lagamer. You've created a new personality called Avram Yitzchak. And again, if you're naming for a grandfather whose name was Avram Yitzchak, you should call him Avram Yitzchak because that was the name of the person. Not everybody agrees to this. Some people say, and shalom, and darche shalom, and creating shalom bayis is a very big inyan by naming children. And if this is the inyan of shalom bayis, and one grandfather and the other grandfather, and you only have one kid, boy, and this is reality, you're not going to have any more kids. So there are a lot of things that are taken into account. But recognize here that when we're playing with names, we're playing with fire. And we're playing with tremendous spiritual kochos here. And you have to be careful how you combine names together. Though he says, even the Chazon Ish, who says if you take two names from two different people, you've created a third name. He says, if it's a name from the Parsha, that's less of a problem. We just had my nephew's bar mitzvah on Parshas Baloscha last week. And he was named for Netanel, who is the Nasi of Shevet Yisachar, as well as Aharon, for both found in Parshas Baloscha. And that's a perfect example. And the Tanel Aharon is named after two, you know, names in the Parsha that are totally unrelated. They're just nice names as models, and that is absolutely no problem. The final idea is when we're talking about naming a person, about nicknames. So he says in 16 Aleph, there's some people say you can call a person by nickname, like Yossi for Yosef or Mati for Mordechai. But other people say no, based on the Zohar and the Mukubalim, that if you are going to shorten a name like Yosef or Mati for Mordechai, you shouldn't do this because what you are doing is shrinking the spiritual potential that's found in the name. And recognize that the name, again, has tremendous kochos. Why are you trying to shrink the energy they're giving to a child instead of trying to, you know, expand it? But there is an idea in 17. Having said this, particularly with children, it's very good to give them a name that is a Lashon Chiba, a nickname that shows closeness. But, however, a person should not always call this child Bikviyut, because, again, it's not a good idea to always call them, you know, a shortened version, you know, Suri instead of Sarah. There should be, you know, at times during the day, you call the child actually Sarah, because, again, we don't want to limit the kochos ha-nefesh of who this child is. So what we've seen so far, it's been a bit of exploration into names, is that a name is the essence of a person. The name sets for us the pattern, the blueprint of where a child is going to go in life. That's why if you name two names, to use both names, when you name after people, recognize who you're naming after, you're creating a certain reality. And it's brought down that if you have to name for a grandparent who perhaps had a challenging life, so think about another individual who had that same name, Avravinu, Rachel Imenu. Think about somebody else when you're giving the child that name. And even though you're using the name of that grandparent, you have in mind the you know, other individuals who've had this name, who you do want your child, and with the name, in essence, is a model for your child. And be very careful not always to call nicknames to your children, to use both names, because the names, we're talking about a powerhouse of kochos, and we have to be well aware of this. Now, with the understanding of how important names are, we can now go back and appreciate one of our original questions, why it repeats by the Meraglim their names, and these were their names twice, and the whole idea of Moshe Rabbeinu changing Yoshua's name. The Shvila Pinchas here of Pinchas Friedman speaks about our obvious question. How is it that these Meraglim, who were tremendous tzaddikim, how is it possible that they fell and failed? And in fact, Rashi tells us, Kulam Anoshim, when they left, they were tzaddikim. What's going on here? How do we understand this? So the answer that's brought down in the Maharami Prague, the Rechaim HaKadosh, the Chassam Sofer, the Chidushei Arim, the Avnei Nezer, is one major answer. And that is, let's take a look together in 18. The people asked for Meraglim. Since the people, in their very request and taking the initiative to ask for Meraglim, was a chisaron, a lack of amuna, because she hivtiach lahem et haaretz, Hashem promised them the land, lachein hishpia machshavatam hara'a shel hamishalchim al meraglim hashlichim limrod shehayu tzadikim. This negativity, this lack of amunah, had an influence on the meraglim. And this is what the Gur Aryeh says. Omer Okach, in 19, amaral rayol niskav, nachon hadavar ki ba'otah sha'a shebachar otam Moshe l'ragel et haaretz, hayu tzadikim mitzad etzmam. You're right, they were tzadikim. Ulam beotah rega sheitchilu lalecha b'shlichutam shel Yisrael. But at the very moment that they went on the shlichus of Jewish people, and the Jewish people who are sending them, asher kavanatam hayta l'ra'a, was negative, hishpia kavanatam hara'a shel mishalchim al shluchim. That negativity affected the those who were being sent. Shegam heim yochu beitzah ra'a, ubeotah rega nefchu mitzadikim l'rishayim. But the Maharal says, as well as these other Mefarshim, these people are intrinsically tzaddikim. But there's an idea of shlucho shalotam kemosa, that the emissary of a person is like that. So when these Meraglim go as emissaries of the Jewish people, at that moment they switch, they flip into those who sent them. And those who sent them had an evil mindset, had a lack of bitachon, and that affected the Meraglim, that they became like those who sent them, and they too came back with a negative report. And this is why in 21, we may ask ourselves, but then ma'ash matam shemeraglim, it's almost like they've been doomed from the start. What do you expect from them? Echayu mesugalim litgaber ha-machshavatam ha-ra'a shel Yisrael. How could they have overcome? It's almost like they're being set up. And that's why the Chasam Sofer answers, this is why our parsha begins, Shlach lecha anashim, lecha ledatcha. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you send the meraglim ledatcha according to your mindset. So that the meraglim will go on your shlichus api Hashem and not on the Jewish people. Omnam nitarva b'zeh machshava zara, ki ra mikre shvotoz ma mamash, shetziva Hashem lishloch meraglim, boba eight nikshu b'nei Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to send the meraglim out Hashem, Al Moshe Rabbeinu, that the miraculous would go with a pure intention. But what happened? This is the Maisa Sata. At the very time that Hashem was commanding Moshe to send the miraculous, that's when the Jewish people came and came up with this idea. So the miraculous, instead of being influenced of Shlach Lecha L'Da'atcha, being sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, they were influenced by the people. What was the challenge of the miraculous? And this is where our Bechira comes into place. They had to put aside the fact that they were shluchim, they were the representatives of the people, and realize that they were just the shluchim of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if they realized they were the shluchim of Moshe Rabbeinu, then they would have gone l'da'ato according to his mindset and would have been successful. And that is why we find later, when the meraglim, and this is brought down in the Ramban in 28, when the meraglim come back and bring their own opinion and they just don't respond to what Moshe Rabbeinu had asked it. Ephes, Kiaz, Ham, however the people are, what they're doing is they are responding as shlichi, as messengers of the people, not as messengers of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is where the failure came from, not recognizing where the prime source is coming from. And he notes here in 22, the Yadua, Kanishlach, Makarish Baruch Hu, Nikra Malach, those who are sent by Hashem are called a malach. And we have to recognize that as a malach, you have a mission to do. But when it describes them being sent, it describes them as Rashei B'nai Yisrael Hema, the leaders. They don't go as malachim, as shluchim of Hashem. They go as Rashei B'nai Yisrael. They go as leaders of the people. And that is their downfall. And that explains in 24a and b, the very interesting explanation that the miraglim didn't want to go into the land because they were afraid they were going to lose their important position that they had in the Midbar, and they would go to Eretz Yisrael, they would appoint different leaders, and they would lose their esteemed position, which makes no sense. So they have this position in the Midbar, they have this position in Eretz Yisrael, the position is irrelevant, it's where God puts you. Where is their lack of emunah? Why do they have it? And the answer is, because the people had a lack of emunah. How do I know the people had a lack of emunah? Because they even asked to send miraculous. Because they doubted, was Eretz Yisrael good? That lack of emunah, that distortion of all values, had an impact on the miraculous themselves. Now, what does this have to do with us? So here's the first idea. It's brought down in Source 27, the Sasemis, we've learned this piece before, from the Chudushei Arim, that Shlichei Mitzvah Shinotanim Nafsham Shlichutam, Ki Gam Adam HaMekayim Mitzvah Boro. When we do a mitzvah, recognize, Shinishtalech Bolam Hazeh, we're sent in this world, Kidei La'asar Ritzono Yisparach, to do Hashem's will. And we are all called Shlichei Aborei. We are all called the emissaries of God. And therefore, in 29, Kemosha Anaroim, just like we see by the Baraglim, that we were great people, Kulama Nashim Rashay B'nai Yisrael Hema, but nevertheless, they went on the mindset of the Jewish people, and that was for the negative, and that had an influence on their shlichos. Kein ra'ui l'cholecha Yisrael ladaf liskor. Likewise, each and every one of us must remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us into this world to do His bidding. And if we remember at all times that everything we do, we are the shlichim of Hashem. We want to do His will. Ki az yizkash shekaravatoa ta'arash shalom ha-shaleach ho'bar yisparach shmo tisayehu. Then we should recognize that the one who is sending us will influence us, will affect us, will help us, and will be able to serve Hashem b'shleimut. My friends, this is a model, and this is what the Tefillah Pinchas says is a model for us. If we understand that who sends us has an impact on who we are, And we have to understand that everything we do in this world, we are shlichei borei, we're also emissaries. Now we have to ask ourselves, when I do a mitzvah, am I doing it because I feel like it's going to be good for me, I'm going to get credit for it, people are going to show me honor, whatever it is, then who is initiating this service? You, your ego. And it's going to be a downfall from the start. But if you understand that our whole lives are about shlichim, are being sent from Hashem, and our whole focus in life is how do we do Hashem's will, so then we take on, so to speak, that koach, that aspect of Hashem, and then we are helped throughout what we do in our lives. And this, the Shvili Pinchas says, is the lesson, one of the most major lessons to learn from our parsha. Recognize how we are influenced by those who send us. Do we recognize in our lives that we are shlichei haborei, that we're being sent in this world to do God's bidding, and we're not here just to fulfill ourselves? And this is the idea of doing a mitzvah lishma, of doing a mitzvah for Hashem's sake, because He is the one who sent us. This is the idea of Shivitzi Hashem Lenegdi Tami, of putting Hashem in front of me at all times, that I recognize that everything that I do is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the asterisk in 32. B'chol mashine yaneh b'olam hazeh. Whenever you benefit from this world, it's not just for your personal benefit, but it's a benefit of b'chol drachah ha'dayehu, a benefit in order to serve Hashem. And with this, my friends, we can appreciate the whole idea of names. The Munani Techer of Wilson points out in source 33. The inyan ha'shlichu sabotela adam, who davar shemutal adam shelo lishkoa kol yimei chayav, mihu mishalcho. We can never forget why we are here and who sent us. And the avodas of the yetzer, the negative aspects of our lives, is to live a life where we forget why we are here and what we are doing. And a person is going to run around all life and forget why is he running and to where he's running. And that is very similar to a situation that Chazal speak about in the Gemara Kedushi, that you send somebody to be your shaliach, your emissary, to be makadesh, to sanctify a woman for you, right? Go to a certain town and be makadesh Sarah that I should marry her. And what does the shaliach do? He goes and marries her herself, himself. You've botched up. You forgot that you were a shaliach, but that's us. Right? We go as a shaliach and we do what we want. We want to marry her. We forget that there's somebody who sent us, right? God sent us. We're here for God's purpose. That's why we're in this world. And that's why it's brought down in the Kitzur HaShlav 34 that at the end of our Shmona Esrei, right before we say Yul HaRatzon, we say Yul HaRatzon twice, once after the Baruch of Sim Shalom before Elokai Nitzor, and then the Yul HaRatzon right before we take the three steps back before Oseh Shalom, a person should say a pasuk which hints at his name, which is two options. It's found in the Article Siddur. This is brought down with the list of names. You can find your own pasuk. Either a pasuk with a person's name in it themselves, if they have a Tanakh name like Avram or Sarah, or a name beginning with the first letter of your name, a pasuk beginning with the first letter of your name, and that pasuk ends with the last letter of your name. So for my first name, I have it easy. I've chosen the pasuk of Shir HaShirim HaShir L'Shlomo, which both has the Shir of Shira, and begins with a Shin and ends with a He. And the Shlach Kodosh says it's a skula that a person shouldn't forget their name after they die. What does this mean? So there are many explanations. But one is, Kishmo Shel Adam Yishluchuto, as we saw, the name of a person is his shlichus, is his job. And that's why by the malachim, by angels, their names constantly changes. And when a person is down here in this world, we don't want to forget what our mission is. And that's why at the end of Shmona Esrei, when we're about to enter into our world and we're leaving the dominion of God sending us, it's as if, you know, we check in with the commander base every day. And as we're pulling out to go in to do our mission, let's not forget what our mission is about. And therefore, we mention a pasuk either with our name or it's hinted at our name to remind ourselves, what are we doing here in this world? When I leave commander base, what am I supposed to be doing? By mentioning this pasuk, it's a focus to make sure we utilize our potential, we live up to our name to its full capacity. And that's why in this Sefer, he brings down in 37, Ulufize Barur Kashemesh Hamichag Hayom Shekatavnu, as brought down the Makarosh, that we should find a pasuk Shematim Liyuru Mauto Haishi Sheavo Eto Kol Hayomim L'Torah V'Chesed U'Bevo Asman Yizkor Miyad Et Shmo. You should really pick a pasuk. Don't only go by Rabbi Art School, but pick a pasuk which is very much something that's going to be directive of your life, so that it reminds you three times a day, two times a day, once a day, whenever you daven it, it reminds you of what you're doing here in this world. That is why for my second pasuk, middle name being Aviva, I chose the pasuk Ashrei Tzmimei Derech Hochim B'Tarat Hashem. Begins with an aleph, ends with a hey, a pasuk from Tehillim, which is the mindset of Ashrei Tzmimei Derech. Praise are the pure ones who walk in the path of Hashem. That is a pasuk that sets up for a person a mindset of what one's supposed to be doing in life. This is very important, that every person should have this pasuk. Aside from the skulas that are found there, that you remember your name after 120 years, it's not only about that, which has a whole shir in of itself. It's about recognizing for yourself, before you leave Shemoneh Esrei, what are you supposed to be doing in this world? Why are you here? And it gives a person directive. Just add parenthetically, if anyone needs help in finding a pasuk, and there's certain psukim that are Yiddish names, which are harder to find psukim, so then there are other creative solutions for this. You can obviously speak to your local Rav, or if I can be of any assistance, I'm making myself available as well for consultation. With this, we can appreciate why it speaks about by the Meraglim again, that it mentions, and this is at the end of 35, Lachein hutzrachu ha-meraglim l'mishneh koach laskir matarat shlichutam v'lazeh kafel ha-pasuk eilu shmor anoshi asher shalach Moshe shebazeh yesh netinat koach nosaf l'man yizkeru ha-matarat shlichutam. That is why in the first source that we looked at, it mentions again, these are the names of the miraculous. Why do we have it repeated? Because now when Moshe Rabbeinu is sending them, he's again reminding them, this is your name, this is your essence, this is your shlichus. Be honest about it, be careful about it, be loyal to this, and don't deviate. Look at your names, look why you were created, be able to be responsible to them. And in that very pasuk, he names Yahushua. And he says, it's not just enough to pray, but I have to imprint in your name what your essence is, to remind you at all times that you should never deviate from what your mission is, and that God will save you from anyone who's going to try to influence you in the negative way. But on an even deeper level, by Moshe Rabbeinu changing the name of Hosea to Yahushua, of Kai Yoshia Chamed Sat Meraglim, he's helping Yahushua not only for the present, but helping Yahushua for the long term as well. Because as we know on the next page, it's brought down in the Zohar Kadosh as well as others. This is at the end of 40 and 41, that the Meraglim, one of the reasons they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael was that they were afraid of the physicality of the land. They wanted to live on a purely spiritual level. They wanted to live on a level of lechem min hashamayim, bread from the heavens. They were afraid to live down in the physical earth. Ka yoshiacha metza meraglim. Hashem should save you from the advice of the Meraglim. You, Yahushua, are going to be the one who is going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough for me to daven for the here and now that you should be saved from them. No! You, Yahushua, need the long-term name change, because your essence is going to be about this very concept. How can you ensure that that effect of what the Meraglim were speaking about isn't going to affect the way you're going to bring Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael? You, Yahushua, have a major challenge of being able to come into the land and from the physicality of the land be able to raise it up to the spirituality. And that's why the Shvilei Pinchas points out, based on the Avodat Yisrael, the Magid Mikoshnitz, that the next ingot, right after the raglim, is b'voachem al haaretz, that I bring you to, v'yabach lachem lechem haaretz tarim u'truma l'Hashem. Your job is going to be able to take from the physical food and be able to raise it up as a truma l'Hashem, be able to find the nitzotzos, be able to find the sparks from the food in Eretz Yisrael. And that was Yoshua's job, and indeed we find, as soon as he comes into Eretz Yisrael, when he eats of the lechem haaretz, the malach comes, and it's almost a reminder in that particular section, Yoshua, now that you're in Eretz Yisrael, don't forget that your job is to take charim u'truma l'Hashem from the physicality. Don't be affected by the raglim, that you can't integrate the physical and the spiritual. No, Yoshua, you need a name change forever for the future, that you're not going to be affected by the miraculous mindset. And when you get into Eretz Yisrael, you have the mitzvah of challah. You have the mitzvah of elevating the bread. You have the mitzvah of the matnas kahuna. You have the mitzvah of truma meiser. You have the ability, and we have the ability when we eat, when we say brachos, when we learn Torah, to be able to take the physical food and to find the spirituality within it. That is a person who's being sent by a shaliach of Moshe Rabbeinu, a shaliach of Hashem. That is someone who understands that we're here for a spiritual purpose in this world. Just like to add one more ha'ara of why Yoshua's name is changed, and it's not just enough to daven. What we've seen so far is that a name is a protection. We've seen that the name is a realization of the shlichus, and Yoshua had to realize what his shlichus was, and it had to be honed into him, and he had to recognize that he had a shlichus as a future leader of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and what those implications would be. But I think there's one more idea that I'd like to share for today. There's an idea that's brought down in the Or Daniel based on Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm, that Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Yoshua because he says, you can never be sure when you're around the influence of others how it's going to influence you for the negative. And a person has to always be on guard from those negative influences. And it brings down, and many of the Mefarshim quote this Chafetz Chaim, it's very famous in 43, that what do you do when you are surrounded by negative influences? So there are many approaches, but there are two approaches that we see in Yoshua and Kalik. Yoshua was a fighter. I disagree, he's coming in saying, I disagree with you, Meraglim, I'm going to stand up against you, and there's going to be a lot of tension, there's going to be a lot of altercation, and he's going to have to stand strong and firm when they know he disagrees with them. Kalev had a different approach. His approach was to play along with them. Yeah, I'm on your side. Yeah. And quietly go down by the Kivrei Avos. That's why Vayahas Kalev, when Kalev silenced them, the Meraglim thought they were just going to add to what he said. And then suddenly Kalev pulls a fast one and says, no, alone Nale, we're able to conquer the land. And both have their positive and negatives. And both are challenging. But we're not dealing with Kalev right now, we're dealing with Yoshua. When you walk into a situation where you know you are standing up for something that those around you don't believe in, you are going to be under extraordinary pressure to break. And extraordinary people are going to make fun of you, and it's going to be very difficult. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't only daven, but in the Birkas Mordechai in 45, Sireif et Birkato v'tfilato l'mahuto ha'kayumit shel Yoshua. He says, it's not enough to daven for you. I have to change your essence. If you are going to be somebody who's going to be always standing up for what you believe in, and it's going to come at a heavy price, then you have to have in your name this idea that you're going to need, as Rami Shamayim, that you're going to need constant help. Ka Yoshiacha, Hashem's going to help you at every step of the way. You're not going to be able to do this yourself. And this was why Moshe Rabbeinu decides, understanding the personality of Yoshua, understanding that he's somebody who's going to stand strong in what he believes in, he understands that he is going to be under tremendous, tremendous pressure, and therefore has to change his name, his essence, to be one of, not at a one time, but Ka, the Yud-K is in his name constantly. Hashem is constantly, at every moment, going to have to be there with you, to save you from these negative pressures. I'd like to add one final idea, and I think this is also very relevant for our lives, and then Amir Tzah Hashem will summarize. Rabbi Frand on the Parsha brings down one of the reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu was perhaps afraid that Yoshua would be affected by the Raglim is that Yoshua, in his anivus, in his modesty, didn't really want to have to be the leader. And he realized that if he was going to, the Jews weren't going to go into Eretz Yisrael, so he'll forestall him being the leader. And that way Moshe Rabbeinu will be the leader for a long time. And he notes on this, Rabbi Frand, that this is very scary, that even someone with humility can have an obscured vision, almost l'shem shemayim. And his humility says, I don't want to be a leader right now. Me, I'm going to be a leader. I'm just a mishamesh. Let Moshe Rabbeinu be a leader for a long time, a longer time. And this is that frosted glass that sometimes we look through in life. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu foresaw this. And he therefore said to Yoshua, I want you to be saved from the Atzat Meraglim. You don't want that we shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. This is really what you need. This is really what you want. I understand where you're coming from. But in this particular case, you need to be able to see it with a little bit of a clearer vision. And this is what the mission teaches us at the end of 47, the asterisks, Asel lecha rav, uknei lecha chavir. Each one of us must be sure to have a teacher or a friend who can see through the self-interest that muddy our vision. If we do not have someone in our lives who's able to view our decisions objectively and set us straight, we are bound to fall prey to our opaque agendas. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, changing Yeshua's name, is saying, I am changing your essence. You're looking at the life through this vantage point. That is not the appropriate vantage point. Let me put the yud in front of your name. Let me give you that clarity of vision. You are destined to be a leader. You're ready to be a leader, and you're ready to go in right now because you are going to have the help of Hashem. You're no longer a Hosea. You've reached a level of godless, of greatness. You're Yoshua. This is your new essence. And Hashem is going to help you in this new position, and you have nothing to worry about of being a little bit shy of taking on this position of leadership. And therefore, my friends, nearness of name is very appropriate for each and every one of us, because the name is the nearest thing that we have. And this is the essence of who and what we are. And we have to realize that when we look at our names of ourselves, when we call the names of our children, we call the names of our friends, when we interact with individuals, we have to understand that the name is the essence of whom we're dealing with. That is why the Meraglim, their names are being emphasized to say, remember your shlichus, remember that I, Moshe Rabbeinu, am sending you. They, however, fell prey to understanding that they were being sent by the people and therefore fell into the people's chisaron, the people's lack in their emuna, and therefore they fell prey to this lack of emuna. We are all shlichei abore, our names. We are all being sent by Hashem. Our names are Ruach HaKodesh. They're divinely inspired. Recognize that we're not here just to fulfill our own appetites, our own agendas. We're here to fulfill God's. And just like Yoshua's name is Ka Yoshiacha, to put the Hashem in him, to remember at all times why he's here, what he's doing, to focus in on his name, to focus in as a leader in Eretz Yisrael, that he's capable of being a leader. And as a leader, he'll be able to raise up the sparks of Eretz Yisrael and the physicality of Eretz Yisrael. We also have to recognize that our name is our focus, is helping us become the best we can be. And that is why it's important to take the suggestion of the Shlach Kadosh, to find a pasuk, the art scroll, as well as other sidurim, have suggestions, find your own suggestion, ask friends. Take psukim for both your names, because that's your essence, that's your kochos and nefesh. And before the Yule Ratzon, be able to say these psukim. And not just say them, but recognize that this is almost the mantra of your lives to live by, that these names, these psukim, are giving you a directive of how you should live your life and how you should be able to become the best you can by being able to live up to your name, that your name down here will ultimately meet the name above, like the Abraham, and will be able to fulfill our mission to the best of our ability.